Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Slow me down, making no time. But I gotta keep it rolling. Closing windshield wipers, slapping out a tempo, keeping perfect rhythm with the song on the radio. Yeah, I gotta keep it rolling. Ooh, I'm driving my life away, looking for a better way. Oh, me.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. Appreciate everybody following along. It's Redneck and Eyes Radio live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. It's a call-in radio show. You can listen along on the phone, or you can be part of the conversation. Just hit one. Let me know you're ready to talk and anything. This is all things trucking and then some. Supporting all the American truckers out there. Appreciate everybody's support. One of the great sponsors I'd like to mention tonight, and that Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. You can check them out at truckertools.com or download their app from your app store on your cell phone. And that's where you can track freight, book freight. You can also plan your route. You can check into, like, you know, truck stops and places to get fuel, places to get truck worked on, maintenance. And you can also get, like, you know, parking and Walmarts even. So check that out, Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, the app for truckers. We appreciate all their support of Redneck and Eyes. So ain't too much going on. It's the Friday before Thanksgiving, so that's a big deal, and everybody's talking about, you know, getting home safe, and we hope everybody gets home safe. Also, there's a couple of issues with, you might see truck stops offering free lunch during the holiday, and there's a couple of places offering free meals on certain days. So we'll dive into that and see if we can find some more deals for you guys. And we'll always post them to our Facebook page and maybe even links to our website. Check that out. Redneckinize.com is our website. You can get all the links to our social media accounts on there. It's redneckinize.com. We got YouTube. Please go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're on YouTube Live right now. Appreciate everybody's support doing that. And that's where we just, you know, we share all our knowledge of truck driving and just, you know, whether it be some maintenance or becoming an owner-operator or just life on the road in general. Check us out. Like I said, it's Redneck and Eyes is the name of the YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody following along on that. We got Facebook, we got Instagram, and we got Twitter too. And we're looking to go big on Twitter here after. We look like people are getting fired over at Twitter. You know, it's so funny. Any other business that can't make a profit, you know, the trucking industry's, I don't know if you guys know, the trucking industry's profit margin is It's like maybe 10% is the average. It's in the goal. I mean, if it's 20%, it's awesome. If you're a trucking company, and especially these larger trucking companies, now they'll tell you some of these smaller ones, they'll So the trucking industry, these bigger companies that you see like Swift and Schneider, J.B. Hunt, even Landstar, their profit margins are just like slim. Like they try to break 90% as far as their operating ratio, which means that for every dollar they make, they spend good for them. Which, I mean, if you're dealing with like millions of dollars, you know, a day, then that's pretty good, you know. So, but in these other industries, the tech field and cell phones especially, like T-Mobile, it's like their operating ratio is like 40%. Like they spend every dollar they make, they only spend 40 cents. You know, so those kind of deals, you know, and you're talking about Hollywood, they're trying to make money. You know, they're all about making money. Walmart making money and everything. But trucking industry is very, very slim. And that's why it's so hard to become an owner-operator, and especially if you want your own authority, because your profit margin has to be like above 50%. Like, so you can't afford to spend more than 50 cents to make a dollar. You can't, if you have to do more than that, if it takes you more money to spend to make a dollar, then you're risking, you know, financial trouble. To break that all down, it's funny because more and more trucking companies are going out of business. A California trucking company just filed bankruptcy, and this was on freightways.com yesterday. And like some of the drivers, they still haven't gotten paid. It's a Freon Logistics, F-R-E-O-N Logistics, says it seeks to reorganize as employees demand pay. And I mean, that's something else. That's crazy to me. Of course, this is one of those, you know, right there during the holidays. Freon Logistics, a Bakersfield, California-based trucking company, has filed for bankruptcy, and some employees protested recently and demanded unpaid wages. Documents filed November 8th in Eastern District of California, U.S. Bankruptcy Court, shows the company, which according to the website provides truckload, less than truckload, intermodal, repair and maintenance, and warehousing services, is seeking Chapter 11 protection. The documents were signed by CEO Hardeep Singh, S-I-N-G-H. And it says Freon Logistics employs about 500 people, including truck drivers, administrative personnel, and others. According to the court records, unclear if Freon's associated companies, Freon Group, Freon Trucking, Freon Cold Storage, and Freon Garage, are impacted by the filing. On Monday, some employees gathered outside the company's headquarters to protest, according to local news outlets. Because I have a couple of colleagues that haven't been paid over a good few weeks, even months, 2 months. I heard the most is Joel Juarez told local news station KGET. Let's see. KGET has a report, looks like. Local news, Freon Trucking employees demand pay. And I was seeing if they had a video. And I'm not sure if it says it or not. I mean, this is like a news station. You would think that if they did a report. Yeah, here we go. We might. Let's see. Hold on a second. I think I found it. Here we go. Nope, can't do that. If you're watching YouTube live, the screen's going to move around a little bit, and that's because I'm moving things around, and we'll see if we can get this played. There you go.
2008, that looks a lot. Yeah, when you file bankruptcy.
Yeah, see, and I'll tell you what.
Get out of this.
So when you file bankruptcy, I mean, from my understanding, is that, you know, the government says when you go in there, and it's a government, right? You go into bankruptcy court, and what you're doing is you're saying, you know, you're throwing yourself at the mercy of the law, and the law is pretty much written to protect the people that loaned you the money. So the bank pretty much has to say, hey, I can't give out any money because the government over here called us and said you filed bankruptcy, which means we can't just let you take whatever money you want. We have to wait on them to tell us what to do with it, because now when you file bankruptcy, you've told them, I don't know what to do. Help me. And then you can't just go spend money because you've now told them that you can't control it. You need help. Well, guess what? They're in control now. Now, it might take months for these people to get paid because of the bankruptcy courts, you know, and all that. And the cool thing is Freon, you know, when these big companies, like, I mean, come on, everybody knows. Okay, let's say, you know, like Donald Trump. We all love his antics and his politics. He made some good decisions while he was president. But he also did he followed the law, okay? And even Dave Chappelle, was talking about this when he did his Saturday Night Live thing, making fun of Donald Trump and making fun of what he did to get elected. And he thought it was amazing that, you know, Hillary Clinton sits there in 2016, accused him of not paying his taxes. And he's like, because I'm smart, you know, because the law is written in a way that if you did, if you followed the law and used all the little things that the law gives you, as a wealthy person with smart people, smart lawyers, accountants, whatever, you can get away with a lot. And that's probably our biggest problem. Now, it may cost you, you know, in the scheme of things, you're talking about a billionaire. Instead of spending millions of dollars in taxes, he only spends, you know, he spends less than a million. And to him, every 100,000 counts, right? Us, it's pennies. And a lot of times we think about it, it's like if you use the loophole, it may only save you $5. You know, on a tax scheme of $10,000, you know, $5 or $6 ain't going to help you much. But when you've got a tax bill of millions or even hundreds of thousands, then 10, 20, 30,000 adds up pretty quick, you know. And that's where they do that all the time. And it's you see what they do. Filing bankruptcy. I mean, that was one of the big things the Democrats kept saying. He's got 10 companies and 8 of them, he filed bankruptcy. And he sits there and says, well, yeah, because the laws are written to say if your company doesn't make money, then you file bankruptcy. That's you know, and what it does. And I mean, it's not saying that you – it's one of those things where if you talk to a guy and he's like, you know, hey, man, can I borrow $1,000? And you're like, sure, here, you know, here's $1,000. You're going to pay me back, right? Sure, I'm going to pay you back. Then he goes and files bankruptcy. Well, you don't have any receipt that you loaned him that $1,000. So the bankruptcy court's like, you know, we don't see that he owes you any money. So you got to file a petition and you got to get a lawyer and all that. So basically it's a really good way to get out of paying bills. And that's what bankruptcy does. That's what it does. It's like, well, they don't have the money to pay you that. And here's who gets priority. You know, the banks and these major creditors, they get priority. If you're low on the totem pole, then you're only going to get maybe cents on the dollar of getting reimbursed for whatever, you know, assets you may be owed or whatever. And, I mean, just like Arrow Truck, that was the one we can go off of. They filed bankruptcy there, and they didn't have fuel cards. Got cut off. Drivers didn't get trucks that they paid for. Drivers didn't get paid. Nothing. You know, we read on there was a trucking company I think out of Indiana or whatever, and they didn't file bankruptcy. They closed down, and then they said when you bring the truck back, you'll get your last paycheck. And, of course, they didn't, you know, the government isn't in control because they haven't filed bankruptcy. They just closed shop. So they still have control over their money. And so, you know, when you have a company, when you're working for a company and they file bankruptcy, you're, you know, if you're owed money, you know, watch out because it's in the hands of the government now. So I feel bad for those folks. And that's California, man. I'm telling you, if you're a working person, if you're a person that likes to work for a living and make money, get out of California. Just get out. You know, unless you're one of those people that whatever industry is there, you know, like just like trucking, you know, they got to have trucking because they got to have, as long as people are paying to get stuff. But the way the rules are, you better be making a lot of money. That's all I got to tell you. Because he's like $2,000, not very much. It's a lot, especially in California. That's, you know. It may not be a lot in California. To me, $2,000 is a lot of money, you know. So, but yeah, that's a California trucking company filing bankruptcy. So there you go. And there are other trucking companies. So 2 days ago, they said that there are trucking companies that are expanding, that are growing. It says new equipment galore. Right on time for the trucking bloodbath, it says. Says why trucking fleets are expanding amid a freight shutdown. And it says Shane Ferris started his trucking company in 2013 with one truck. Today, Ferris Fleet, called Green Miles, has about 25 power units as a freight recession looms, because it's not the best market for the small fleet like Green Miles, which mostly hauls frozen and refrigerated meat. He said Ferris wants to get to 40 trucks by next year. Says this, there's just one limitation. Everyone else wants more big rigs too, and this has to do with the pandemic. You know, it was hard to get trucks there for the last couple of years, and now you're just now starting to get new trucks coming out, and that's the thing. Says this week Ferris learned that the 15 trucks he ordered in the spring wouldn't be delivered this year. At best, he might get up to 7 of those trucks next year. See, that's the thing. It's real slow. And he says he's just aren't any production slots left. He goes, this only hope is other fleets that order trucks will cancel their orders. And it all has to do with, you know, you got business, you got people, you need trucks. So if he's got customers calling him, you know, then yeah. He goes, unfortunately for Ferris, cancellations are absolutely minuscule, said Eric Crawford, senior analyst of ACT Research. Fleets are desperate. They're desperate for trucks after manufacturing supply chain crunches made it nearly impossible to get new trucks through 2021 and much of 2022. It goes, that's slowly changing in the last 3 months. Manufacturers delivered 81,000 trucks to fleets, up 30% from the same period last year, according to ACT. Those major carriers like Old Dominion are planning to spend hundreds of millions this year on fresh equipment, and small fleet owners like Ferris are eager to expand their businesses and drop cash on some new trucks. Because we had so much, it's like the demand went up. He said, Crawford said, because we had so much went up in demand, the industry has been severely undersupplied. And that's what it is. I mean, you know, as a business, you know, if you got the customers, if they need you, you know, if you're providing a good service, you're going to be drop dead busy. And that's the thing. If you're good, you know, you're taking care of your people, you're taking care of your customers, it's just going to pour in. The business is just going to pour in. And especially when, you know, you've gotten to this certain size to where you've, there's a lot of people out there. I know truck carrier owners, like fleet owners, that they have a fleet of trucks. And they have customers. They just can't promise to deliver because they don't have enough drivers. The reason why they don't have enough drivers is because they have their demand is work. You got to work. So you can't come in here and just not show up, you know, and all that. Like, I mean, come on. Anybody out there that's driven for, if you're out there driving for like Swift or Schneider or anybody like that, and you're doing a good job, you probably never see the whole thing, but you go into the office, you ask anybody who works in the office, and you ask them, hey, how many drivers didn't show up today? And they'll tell you, it's like 30% of the drivers that they have working for them didn't show up. Like, I mean, every Monday was always the meetings. Like, we would have a meeting in the morning, and the meeting was, get your drivers out of the house. Every Monday morning, it was like, okay, how many drivers did we get out of the house? How many of them are supposed to be out and not? You know, and then, you know, there would be a major, like I work for Swift in the office as a dispatcher, driver manager, coordinator, all that. And the funny thing is, like, you would have, there would be a couple of emails shared back and forth between, like, the terminal managers, and the VPs and all that. And there would be, like, maybe we're looking for trucks or we're having a problem with a certain area, needs a certain freight, whatever. So then the meeting will be called in for all of the other people. And then... they would say, okay, we need trucks. We're short trucks, or this terminal needs 10 trucks for a new customer, or they've got, you know, a class getting done or whatever, and they need new trucks. They need trucks, okay? So, and then the order came down from the big boss is that if there are trucks sitting, get in there. And it doesn't even matter if there's a truck sitting that's not supposed to be sitting, then send it to them, which means that if you're a driver at home and you're like, I don't feel like going in today, I'm just going to not call in. I'm just going to stay. I don't care. You know, they're not going to fire me. I'm a truck driver. They're not going to fire me. Nope. They went and got the truck because you were supposed to be out today. They called you. You didn't answer the phone. Guess what? They're sending somebody after that truck. Okay. We've got keys. We'll go find the keys. We know where the truck is, satellite location for the Qualcomm or whatever that we got. We know where the truck's at, and we'll go get it. You know, plain and simple. There's plenty of drivers, local drivers sitting there. I mean, that's, we had two or three drivers that worked for local fleets, and that was pretty much their job. Like they got paid by the hour to do nothing but go get trucks. A lot of times it was, you know, the main deal was maybe drive the truck to the dealerships because of warranty work or whatever, or drive it to this customer where we had on-site facilities or whatever like that, or drive it to the other terminal and drop it off and you know, bring the other truck back to get worked on or whatever. But a lot of times it was go to this guy's house and get that truck. Here's the key. I mean, that's what it was. So it's always needing trucks. And when you got businesses, so if you're out there and you're like, eh, I don't know, I don't feel like it. You know, like I said, these smaller fleets, they need drivers, and they need drivers who are going to show up and going to work. And then they can deliver to their customers, you know. So when they can't do that because they can't find drivers that are willing to show up, you know. And then some of them, like myself, I was working for a friend of mine. He was doing that. And I'm like, hey, man, this is great. I'm working for you. I'm doing great. But I got an opportunity. I got to go down here and do this, you know. And it's, you know, it's more of a suit for me and everything. And he's like, man, I'm going to miss you and everything. And that's, you know, that's the way it boils down to. You know, you got to do what's best for you. And that's, sometimes it's not fun for anybody else, but guess what? It's better for you. So yeah. But I mean, right now we need trucks. You know, years ago they said they need drivers. Now we don't have enough trucks. Pretty soon it'll go back to needing drivers again. And it's not bodies. It's not that we need drivers. We need drivers that are going to show up. That's what we need. So yeah, let's see what we got here. What are we doing? Moving right along, just checking my stuff. Make sure everything's okay. Good deal. All right. And, man, what? Having fun. Scroll down here. There was some stuff I wanted to play last night, but never got to it. Here it is. There you go. So, yeah, check us out, redneckanize.com. We're talking about all things trucking and then some. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And, like I said, check us out. We're here every weekday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. And this is Blog Talk Radio is where we're at on here. And then, like I said, we're also on YouTube. So check us out. One of the great sponsors I'd like to thank, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Those are the guys where you overnight your particulate filter to them. They'll clean it in a clean lab and then overnight it back to you. You need parts, they got parts. You know, if you got the SCR units, all that modern technology, they're also got in like turbos, charge air coolers, EGR coolers, all that stuff. So check them out. That's dpfregeneration.com. We appreciate all their support of Redneck and Eyes. So hang tight. We got about 30 minutes left. It's Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you in a bit.
Steal from Bethlehem. I roll tobacco out of the Carolinas, California wines into Birmingham. Some people work just to survive, yeah. But up here in this cab, that's where I'm most alive. I'm a prisoner of the highway. Driven on by my restless soul. Living back in Tennessee, and she tries to understand the way.
give my hands to another line of work. I'm a prisoner of the highway, imprisoned by the freedom of the road. Don't you know I'm a prisoner of the highway, driven on by my restless soul. Call me a prisoner of the highway, imprisoned by the
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Riding through this world all alone. Gotta take your soul, you're on your own. A crow flies straight, a perfect line. On the devil's bay until you die. This life is short. Maybe not too fast. Better live it right. You ain't coming back. Gotta raise some hell or they cut you down. Gotta live this life. Gotta look this world in the eye. Gotta live this life till you die. You better have soul, nothing less. Cause when it's business time, it's life or death. The king is dead. Life goes on. Don't lose your head when the deal goes down. Just keep your eye on the road ahead. Gotta live this life. Gotta live this world in the eye. Gotta live this life.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Ed with Redneckinize. This is Redneckinize Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody's support, listen along and everything. We're just here trying to make things better for the trucking industry. I may put out a deal and talk about this later on and try to get more input about this, but last night, so I'm at the gas station paying for a little snack and something to drink, and it's one of those truck stops where it's completely open. You know, it's kind of like a Love's, but it's smaller, or it's a smaller business, but it's open. You know, like all the truck stops are. They got one side of the store is where the diesel pumps are, and there's an entrance going in and out for the diesel pumps. And there's a checkout right there, right? And then on the other side of the store, completely on the other side, like, I mean, it's a good long walk. On the other side is where the gas pumps are and where you can walk in and you pay for your store. And that's where, like, the coffee is and the soda and all the snacks and the food and everything is on that end. And so basically everybody that walks in as a truck driver, they walk past the diesel desk there and they go to the other side. The other side's got the restrooms. The other side's got the coffee and the drinks and all that. So it gets a little busy on that other side because there's hardly anybody getting any diesel, but there's tons of people getting food and everything. And of course, regular people getting gas and all that. So I usually, what I do is I get my stuff and I'll go down to the diesel side, especially if I know there's somebody there, then I'll go there and that's where I'll pay. So I was there, paying for my stuff, and other people walk past me because they were down there at the other end paying for their stuff. So two or three people walk out, and then all of a sudden here comes the other attendant that's working the register at the other end, and he comes running through, and he asks that girl, that lady working the counter, she's like, did that guy pay? And she's like, no, nobody else has paid. Everybody just walked out. And he's like, well, that guy didn't pay. Opens the door. Sir, you got to pay for that. And then he kind of just walks back in. And the guy turned around. He came back in. And then they started chatting. You know, what is it? And it's like, he's a refill. So the guy got a refill for a coffee in his own cup, and he didn't pay. So I didn't say anything to the guy because, I mean, by the time he got in, he walked across. I wasn't done with my stuff yet, but I turned around. I didn't see him. I kind of turned my head and saw him walking back, but then finished what I was doing. And by the time I turned back around, he was already gone to the other side to pay his stuff. And I kind of, in my mind, I was like, man, I know that sometimes we feel like we're deserving of a refill because, I mean, all we're taking is the coffee itself or the drink, whatever, or the ice, you know. Like even ice, a lot of times they won't even charge you for the ice at all. You go want to pay, you know, all I got's ice. They're like, oh, you don't have to pay for that. I even feel like, no, I need to pay something because, you know, I feel I need to pay for something. Because here's the thing. It probably not cost that much, but it still takes a refrigeration unit to make the ice, electricity to plug that refrigeration, water, you know. So coffee. Okay, they paid for the coffee. They bought the coffee, right? They paid for the water, and they paid for the machine to make it. And then, of course, the electricity that comes with. And then, of course, you think about it. Every time I walk in there, and maybe there's not that much coffee left or they're out of coffee, and the attendant is, like, busting their ass trying to clean the machines and redo it and push the button to, you know, make sure. I mean, yeah, it's all real easy, right? But it takes time. And those people are getting paid. And a lot of times you see them, a lot of times they'll, like, I mean, I was at a Quick Trip the other day, and they got the machines, like, they got them open, they're in there scrubbing, they got little steam cleaners, and they're trying to keep it all clean and all that. And, I mean, they're, like, you go up there to pay for something, like a bag of chips or whatever, and they got to stop what they're doing and come do that. So it takes them, like, all night to clean those machines that they're required to do. And that, you know, that's great. I'm glad they're doing it. But it takes, and they got to stop what they're doing to help me out because I'm not getting coffee. You know, of course, the machines are not being, they don't have any, you know. So I'm like, you got to pay for something, even if it's 50 cents, even if it's, you know, 75 cents. Pay for it, dude. Pay for it. You know, they're really, I mean, if it were up to me, I would have, like, maybe even a, like, some kind of container that just accepts money and just say, you know, maybe even say the coffee's free if you get it in your own cup, but if you would like to contribute, we really appreciate it. You know, and then maybe every now and then you might get a guy that gets a cup of coffee and he appreciates the machine being clean and the coffee always made and the coffee tasting good. He might even throw in a $5, you know. I mean, everybody, oh, it's a big truck stop. They can afford it. I don't know. I mean, some of these little truck stops can't. We know that, you know. Especially, and a lot of times, too, you get a free refill when you buy diesel. Well, yeah, I mean, that's great. You know, buy diesel, you know. I mean, I think we used to do that all the time. I remember when I first started driving truck, I really didn't understand what the guy meant because when I was training, we would always go to the actual terminals, the service centers for the company, and they would have showers and would use their showers. Well, when you're over the road, it's harder to do that because there's not a lot of places to stop, especially if you stop for the night and you're not at a service center or terminal, then you got to use a truck stop. If you want a shower, use that truck stop. Well, the guy that was in charge of us, our driver manager at the time that we were running, when I first started, I was running a team with a guy, and he was like, don't worry. Because back then the computer didn't automatically, so the funny thing was back then the actual dispatcher, he had to actually set up the fuel stops. Like the card would only work if you were allowed to get fuel there. So if you guys remember, this was in the late 90s, you would get a message. This is your fuel route. And it would give you the roads to take, and it would tell you where to stop for fuel. And the card wouldn't work, the comm data card or whatever they were using, didn't work unless you were set to fuel there. And so it was the job of the dispatcher to say, you know, the computer, and I found this out when I was working as a dispatcher, that the computer would say, here are all the available fuel stops. Okay, so then what do you do? Well, how do you know? Well, that's where having experience as a truck driver would come in. And what I did was, is I would sit there and I'd say, okay, this guy, he's a good guy. I'm going to let him just do whatever he wants. So I'm going to set them all up to get as much as he needs wherever he stops. And that way he would always be able to get a shower or whatever because he would be allowed to get fuel there. Some drivers, you had to kind of guide them, say, don't stop here, stop here. So you would have to kind of calculate, okay, you know, first day, let's stop here. Second day, let's stop here. You know, if it was a multi-day run or whatever. That way, when the driver did stop for the night, they could stop. They could get 50, 7,500 gallons, and then that would give them a free shower. So our dispatcher, when I first, you know, I didn't really realize it. What he was doing, what he was saying was, you're always going to have a free shower wherever you stop because I'm going to set it up that way. And of course, it always is. You get 50 gallons, you get a free shower. Nowadays, the computer, and I remember I was in the office at the time that they did this, they said, well, you don't have to do that no more. The computer is automatically going to tell them where to fuel. And then they were like, hey, man, how come I can't fuel here? I'm going to shut down for the night and all that. Well, they said, we'll reimburse you now. So and that's what the policy was, is that if you did have to pay for a shower, they would reimburse you. So they come down the pipe saying, instead of paying money for fuel that we don't really need because it's not that cheap. So we can get, you know, and you know how it is. If you're an owner operator, you know, don't get fuel here, get fuel here. It's better to top off here than it would be to get 50 gallons here, 50 gallons here, 50 gallons here. It's better to top off at one place because that's where the cheapest fuel is. So paying the $9, $8, $12 for the shower, in the scheme of things, it's actually cheaper just to pay for the shower than to just get fuel and pay the high price of fuel to get the free shower. So the computer was only saying get fuel at only these places. And the driver was like, well, how come I get a free shower? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. So it came down the pipe, pay for the shower, we'll reimburse you. Just put it in the thing. And the drivers didn't like that at all. They hated it because it's like, no, there's more work that I got to do. And they're like, you know, the company's like, oh, well, you know, So it came down the pipe that, you know, that was going to happen. So that's what happens, you know. And getting set up for the free shower was always a big deal for the fuel route to get fuel. And then what you did was not only did you get the free shower when you got fuel, but you got maybe even a free sandwich. You got free refills. You know, there was one place I remember, if you bought 75 gallons, you got shower. I mean, they had on the billboard sign, it said, free 75 gallons get you a free shower, free drink, and a free cheeseburger and fries. That's what getting you 75 gallons got you. So, I mean, there's one time I went in there, I got 75 gallons just so I can get a cheeseburger. Hey, cheeseburgers are good, right? So, I mean, that's a lot of times if you don't want to pay, then, you know, these places cost money. The reason, and I'll tell you, in the grander scheme of things, everybody, I hate paying for parking. Totally agree with you. We shouldn't have to pay for parking. But you know why? Everybody says it's because we trash the parking lots. Yeah, that's probably part of it. But that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem, and I hate to bring in government about this, but it is property tax. These companies, they have to build on the interstate. Of course, that's where we're at, right? We need interstate access. Truck stop needs to be near the interstate so that we can pull off, go in, park, and get what we need. And they had to pay for the parking lot. They had to pay for the concrete. They got to pay for the upkeep of that, the electricity to light up the parking lot. All that costs money. But not only that, the government keeps getting their money, man. They tax and tax and tax, property tax, sewage tax. There's an extra tax for large parking lots because of the runoff. You know, you see how this now, when you see a big truck stop getting built these days, they have these like little runoff ponds separate, you know, and you have to keep that separate. You have to keep that separate from the sewage and from the gutters and all that. So the runoff from the parking lot has to go into this separate pond that keeps that separate because we have fuel spills and oil leaks and all that, and they don't want all that going into the main sewer lines, so they have to keep it off. That costs money, you know, and then there's an extra tax on that, so that costs money. So when you see them start charging for parking, you know, and it might even be for security. Most of it's for security. You see that now. You see most of the parking lots that charge are in the bigger cities where it's really crowded, and there might even be more of a homeless population or a higher crime rate. You know, you got people going in and out there all times of the night and all that, and you got to have security, you know. And so when you see security, chances are you're going to see people getting charging and all that. I think where we lost it, where is the reserve parking, I think that's where we kind of fell off the deep end on that, because the reserve parking is that you come into the parking lot and there are empty spaces. And you can't park there because those spaces are reserved. Now, let's say place has 10 spots. Now, for that night, only 6 or 7 of those spots get actually paid for. So there's actually three or four spots that are open. You know, and then you go in and you're wanting a place to park, and they're telling you have to pay if you want to park there. And really, it's people, and then what they're doing is they're allowing, because of that, people don't want to pay, they're just parking wherever they want to park, and these attendants now, people that work at the truck stops, they're not doing anything. So they're letting the guy block the fuel island or block the Catscale or just park on the side somewhere because they don't want to pay for the parking. So when you get there late, everybody's parked everywhere else except for that paid spot, and the only place left is that paid spot, then that's where you got to park if you want to park. And it's like, it's not fair because these other drivers should have been ran off because they're not parked in a parking spot. And I think truck drivers that don't park in parking spots, I'm sorry. Okay. If you park for the night in a truck stop, and I mean, down here in South Texas, I'm over here, there are plenty of I stop at this one truck stop almost every night, and there's plenty of parking spots. Okay. There's always open spots somewhere. If you just drive around the truck stop for a little bit, you'll see 5, 6, 7, 8, sometimes even 10 open spots. Even when half the parking lot is empty, you still get idiots that park out there on the curb over by the building real close because they don't feel like backing into that spot. Maybe they can't. I don't know. But that's just stupid. Okay, and that's where our industry's got to do better. We got to park in parking spots. And we've got to refuse. I mean, we shouldn't have to pay. I don't have a problem. What I see is that if you are a truck stop and you want to charge for parking, then charge everybody. Block this whole system off. Block the whole parking lot off. And nobody's allowed to park unless they pay. Don't let them in the lot unless they pay. Because that way, if you do have any kind of overflow and there are people just parking wherever they want, well, they're still paying, just like everybody else. So at least you're getting your money. You know, what you're doing now is that the paid spots are staying empty and people are just parking wherever they want. So that's what you're doing. You're just creating, you know, these idiots that want to just park wherever. They don't want to park in the paid spots. You know, they want to park in a free spot. And as long as you're not telling them where to park, they're going to park wherever they want outside of the free spot. You know, it's kind of like, you know, hey, you can't, you know, you need to pay for that parking. No, I'm not paying for that parking. I'm sitting here. And unless you make them move, they're going to sit there all night. And it doesn't matter if it's inconvenient for anybody or whatever. They're just going to park there. So, you know, truck stops, figure it out. To me, If you want to charge parking, charge everybody. You know, and there are truck stops, smaller truck stops up in Michigan and Ohio, Illinois, parts of even some in Texas. There's no gate. There's no guard shack. There's no anything. You park in the parking lot, and they'll tell you, is it paid parking? You must pay the attendant inside. And when you go, so, I mean, they've got, maybe they got a wrecker. I don't know what they do. But you go in there, and you park in the parking lot, and if you didn't pay, they don't give you any kind of, the one in Arizona, Phoenix, that there's a truck stop there. It's not that big of a truck stop. It's pretty nice. It's really nice. But it's all open. There's no gate. There's no guard, but they have security. So what they do is they give you this, like, construction paper, big thing. Maybe it might not be laminated. I think it's something they just give you, and you don't have to give it back. But they write the date on it. They write the date and time in big marker, and it's got their name, and you put it in the window. That way security knows you paid. And, you know, they're supposed to calculate it. I guess the time is either the time that you got it or the time that you, like, I pay for 24 hours. So they'll write, you know, 24 hours from now is this day on this time. And that way the guard goes and he knows that, you know, he checks the watch. Hey, you're not allowed to be here anymore. You need to leave. That kind of thing. And there are places that do that. You know, so to me, that's probably the best way to do it is if you're going to charge for parking, charge everybody to park. And then if you don't want to park there, don't park there. You know, but I think the biggest pet peeve is when I get to a truck stop that is free, but there are reserved spots and there's no parking. Okay, I won't park there because there's no free spots. I'll leave. But there's empty spots, but then nobody's parked there. They're all parked everywhere else. You know, so that's what I don't like. I don't like it. There's no parking. And you think about it. Why isn't there more parking? Why is truck parking so hard to find? It's expensive to provide parking. It's expensive. So, you know, when you're paying $6 for a hot dog, it's because they got to pay for the parking lot. It's expensive. Paying for parking is expensive. Okay? Bottom line. And you can't get around that. Okay? Having a paid lot, having a paved concrete or asphalt lot with lights, with, you know, paint, security, access, whatever, it's expensive. And that's the problem. And it's not even, you know, and that's even talking about actually creating the parking lot. Don't even get me started. I mean, of course, that's what I just referred to, the taxes and the environmental impact and all that. You know, that is highly expensive. That's probably the biggest expense is the taxes. And the government just keeps raising them. And if you want to build on the interstate, it's even more. You know, it's even more. So yeah, we need more parking. And we need more access. We need to pay for, you know, our stuff. So that bottom line is pay for your refills. You know, I might send a deal out on Facebook and Twitter asking a question about paying for refills. I know it's a mixed message. I know, or it's a mixed reviews. Some people don't like it. They think we should be able to get, we got our own cup. We're traveling the road. We're truck drivers, you know. It's the whole, everybody thinks they're special, you know. Just like the whole Veterans Day thing. You know, it's like, yeah, I was in the military. You should get a free meal on Veterans Day when you're out there on the road. Nah, I didn't join the military to get free meals. Okay, so don't worry about it. I'm not worried about it. Don't try to, no, that's okay. Thank you, but that's all right. You don't have to do that. That's not my goal. So yeah, just, you know, something to think about as we go into the weekend before Thanksgiving. Next week is Thanksgiving week. I guess kids are going to be out of school all week, so check that out. Bad I see out there. We're getting rain down here in South Texas. So yeah, just everybody watch out and be safe out there. And yeah, we're just getting things done. So appreciate everybody following along. What is it? Yeah, we're gonna wrap it up here. So appreciate everybody listening and following. Like I said, it's Redneck and I's Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Where are we at? There you go. So, yeah, 515-602-9731. That's the phone number you can call in. Check us out, like I said, every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We probably won't be here on Thursday or Friday but next week, but we will be for, what is it, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then we'll be back Monday after Thanksgiving. So appreciate everybody following along for that. Go check us out, redeconize.com. That's the links to all of our social media accounts. We got Twitter, we got Facebook, Instagram, and then we got YouTube. Appreciate everybody subscribing, staying subscribed to the YouTube channel. We got some great videos on there talking about how to drive around big trucks directed to the four-wheelers. And we also got videos talking about the interaxle differential, becoming an owner-operator, lease purchase, all that stuff. And we appreciate everybody doing that. And we're, like I said, we're just a group of truckers. And we try to get to the truck shows, and that costs money. So that's why we try to get sponsors and everything. You know, it's all this stuff's expensive, and we're just, you know, most of it's paid out of our own pocket. And then we try to get sponsors to pay for the big stuff. And that's basically what we do. So you see a lot of people out there that are truck drivers that probably, you know, life is good for them because they make videos and all that. And they got some pretty good videos. I'll tell you what, it's impressive. Because to me, I made some videos, even the YouTube videos that I made that I thought looked pretty professional. And they probably weren't as professional as I'd like them to be. And it's hard work. Making videos is hard work. So salute to those guys. And they're probably making a pretty good living. And they're putting that money in their pocket, which is great. We're not doing that here. All of the proceeds that we get from Redneck and I's go back into Redneck and I's, where we go and we might be able to get some T-shirts, where we can get some stuff out to people. We even donate it to some charities. We got several truck drivers that families that go through hardship, and we help them out too. So we're, you know, all about trying to make the industry better for everyone, and it all begins with us doing better. So as truck drivers, we got to do better. So taking responsibility. In fact, I did this today. Just so you know, today on my personal Facebook page, actually it was to the Redneck and I's Instagram page, and whoops. Well, first off, I put on there because I saw this in a movie clip, and it's happiness is everything. It's so amazing that it doesn't matter if it's not yours. Good people do good things for other people. The bottom line, that's it, right? That's what it means. And then the other one, talking about accountability and accepting responsibility leads to happiness, right? That's what we've been told a couple of times by different people. And this was a good quote by Rob Pitfield. He says, to be accountable or to be a victim is one of those elemental decisions that everyone needs to make. Simply, the former leads to a happier and more rewarding life. And that's what it is. It's taking responsibility. So when the industry is not doing that well, maybe it's not benefiting you that well, you know, maybe it's something that we need to do better. And that's what the bottom line is. So only worry about what you can change in your own, you know, what you can control. And you can control your own actions. You can control how you, you know, the decisions. You know, if somebody says, oh, there, you know, I have no choice, I have to take that freight. No, you don't. So think about that. So, yeah, until next time, everybody have a great time. It's, like I said, it's Friday, so the weekend's coming, and everybody drive safe. The weather's getting bad. And, of course, it's a holiday where people are going to be out of work, out of school, stuff like that. So check things like that and everything. And just hang to, you know, have enjoy life. This is Redneck and I's Radio, redneckandi's.com. Appreciate everybody getting along and following us and keeping in touch. Check us out. Like I said, one of our great sponsors I like to mention, that's Load to Ride Transportation. That's ltrtransportation.com. You can see on my YouTube channel, I got it right here, a T-shirt, pretty cool. That's a really good company out of Denver, Colorado. They're staying drop dead busy, and we appreciate all their support at Redneck and I's. So until next time, you guys have a great night, and keep between the ditches. Stay safe, stay successful. Redneck and I's Radio. We'll see you later.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and I's.